Hi, welcome to Energitis Talk Show. I am so excited to share Chris Randall's story with you today. You will hear us talk about 80-10-10, which means 80% of your daily calories coming from carbohydrates, fruits and vegetables, 10% coming from fat, and 10% coming from protein. You also hear us talk about mono meals, which means getting one fruit at a time. Enjoy. Welcome to Energitis Talk Show. If you have ever struggled with losing weight, then you want to join us today for this hour of power. My guest today totally changed his lifestyle at age 15 and lost 150 pounds on fruits and vegetables. Now just think back on how mature you were at 15. I'm telling you that Chris Randall from Real Raw Results is smart beyond his years, and most of us could learn a lot about weight loss by listening to his story. Welcome, Chris. Oh, I have been looking so much forward to this. You are really my idol.
Oh, thank you.
When I think about how I was at 15, I just cannot believe how you were so smart and so motivated. It's just amazing. How old are you now, Chris?
I am 19 years old, and in another couple months I'll be 20, but right now I'm at 19. And as soon as I graduated high school, I just didn't mess around. I just got to doing what I needed to do, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, you could be my son.
Yeah.
Okay. But Chris, if you could please just share your weight loss story.
Yeah, you know, I very first got started, everyone who has a weight issue really kind of has that underlying feeling that of like, okay, I know I should probably do something about this. I don't look my best, I don't feel my best, but it was always just kind of like there, and I never really wanted to do anything about it. It's like people, you know, we get into a habit of feeling comfortable with what we're doing, and so I was really comfortable going out and eating, you know, chocolate sundaes and massive barbecues and steaks and ribs and, you know, bacon and eggs for breakfast pretty much every day. And, you know, you just get comfortable doing that. And if something kind of challenges what you're currently doing and like, okay, maybe this isn't the best idea, we kind of fight against it. We resist, and we don't really want to necessarily go through the things that we have to do to eventually get what we want. And so what it really took for me, my tipping point was, I think I was about 14 or 15 years old. It was like right between that middle ground right there, between 14 and 15. And I was over 320 pounds in weight, which is about 140, 150 kilograms for any listeners from across the pond. And from there, I, you know, had acne all over my face and body, and major sinus issues. I had asthma, chronic congestion, and high blood pressure, depression, and all sorts of things like that. I just was not a happy teenager. I was not enjoying my high school years, which should have, you know, stereotypically be the best years of my life, and just wasn't enjoying them. And so really what it came to be from there is just looking in the mirror and just deciding, okay, what I am doing day in and day out is not getting me where I want to go. And it's just the height of idiocy to keep doing the same thing day in and day out and expecting different results. And so I knew I had to change. And the number one thing I thought was like, okay, it has to be what I'm putting on my plate three or four times a day. That has to be the biggest factor in what's causing me to not get the results that I want to get. And so I just, without having any background in, science or nutrition or really health or anything like that, I didn't have like a health conscious family or anything. I just started looking at what was on my plate. I was like, okay, so the bacon and eggs, that's not suiting me anymore. And without knowing what the word vegan, or everyone knows what a vegetarian is, but without knowing what the word vegan meant or a low fat, high carbohydrate diet was, I automatically just started basically switching like overnight from all the stuff I was eating before to a low fat vegan diet based off of potatoes and rice and corn and things like that. And then from there, that just brought me to, you know, it's just like a natural progression to a 80-10-10 raw vegan diet based on as much fruit as I care for, followed by as many vegetables as I care for. And then over that time, that has just provided so many insane results that it's just hard to, you know, so positive that it's just hard to comprehend. But, you know, in the transit from there, you know, en route, it's just helped me to effortlessly shed 150 pounds of fat and become the healthiest and fittest I've ever been in my life. And it's definitely been a trip.
But what I find so fantastic is that you knew that fruits and vegetables would be the way for you, because we are bombarded with the paleo, high protein, high fat diets. And I believe that especially if I was only 15, I would think, oh, if that's what the media is saying, then mm-hmm. that must be the right way to go. I mean, how did you get to be so educated about fruits and vegetables?
That's an excellent question. And, you know, before I was really, really committed to, like, okay, this, what I need to do needs to change. You know, within the maybe half a year prior to that, I was just kind of doing a little bit of tinkering. And so I definitely did the whole, you know, free range, organic, grass fed animal products, you know, organic, free range, cage free eggs. And, you know, I did some raw organic grass fed milk and cheese and some things like that. But before I got really started in what I was doing now, and this is several years ago now. So I got started doing that and, you know, thinking like, okay, maybe I'll just try more of like a, you know, more of a whole foods kind of program, which you hear a lot of people promote in the paleo movement or, you know, any type of movement like that. Just more focus on more whole foods and, you know, quote unquote, high quality animal products or whatever that might be. And so I tried that and, you know, it's any improvement in diet is going to get you some results, but in terms of really feeling good and having the weight come off, it really didn't do much at all. And so, exactly like you said, it was just like, you know, it very difficult because, like, during that time, what was really big is, you know, the low carb diet was massive, Atkins and the South Beach diet, and all these different things like that, which is massive. But it was just kind of like the underlying, I think, really what it was. I'm not trying to sound like I'm, you know, my high horse above people, but it was just seemed like so much like common sense. It was just like, man, nobody is feeling healthy and fit and happy from eating bacon and eggs for breakfast. You know, Robert Atkins died, you know, from a heart attack at 258 pounds or something like that. It's just like, when we look in the mirror, you know, I'm not making fun of anyone, you know, rest his soul, but it's just like, you know, it's just kind of sad that people are really swindled by these authors and lecturers who are really just promoting unhealthy diet. And it's obviously just not working, especially in the long run. And so I think it was just a common sense factor of just like, man, nobody is going to, you know, be on a healthy, sustainable program eating bacon and eggs for breakfast. I mean, that, I would have loved to have heard that, to be honest, you know, because it would have been like, oh, I hardly have to do anything. I'll just get rid of the piece of toast that I had with it.
Oh, and that's good news. And then I can have all the eggs and bacon that I want. Yay.
I'll just replace all the bread with even more butter or something like that. And it's just like, that would have been the easiest. That would have been what's the easiest thing to do. But one thing it really just comes down to is, personally, I don't want to do what's easy. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right by myself and the planet and my friends and family and loved ones and everyone that I know and everything that I, you know, have a connection with. And so I didn't necessarily want to take the easy route. I wanted to do what was right. I wanted to take the high road. And so from there, I guess it was just that underlying common knowledge of like, okay, this just has to be it. And then from there, I started getting more science on my side and started just consuming as much information as possible on, you know, health and nutrition and everything like that. Whether, you know, I go down to the library and get medical textbooks from the university there, look and see what the textbook material had to say, correlating that with different authors, and just kept going from there. And I still continue to do the same thing, continuing my education as much as I can today. But I feel very grateful that I didn't, you know, get swindled near as much as other people do, because other people will spend years of their lives on some sort of horrible diet program and then end up just slapping on more weight than when they first started. And I'm grateful that didn't happen to me, but I definitely got, you know, it was a bit rocky in the very beginning. But once you just decide, okay, this doesn't make sense, let's just do what feels right, you know, from there, that's just what made it effortless.
Yeah, and it has also been very confusing to me, and I'm even a lot older than you are, and I've been studying this for years, but I thought, okay, there must be something to it when everybody is doing this paleo thing.
Yep.
And I wanted to change my diet, not to lose weight, but to get rid of migraines. And the paleo diet definitely didn't work, and the 80-10-10 works miracles. But it took me a long time to find that way, because I still see people getting results on the paleo diet. Mm. So, Chris, how do we explain? Because I'll just say, the paleo diet is such a big hit in Denmark right now. It's like all over the media. We even have a program called Botox or Broccoli, where this paleo dietitian, she gives advice.
Really?
And, yes. And, you know, people are just going crazy over it. And I'm thinking, okay, it's good if it works for you and more power to you. Mm-hmm. But we need an alternative. It's time that some other people, they say, hey, what about a plant-based diet? Have you ever thought about that in the long term that this doesn't work? Have you read the China study? Have you thought about why the Blue Zones countries, they all have a high plant-based diet and not a high animal product diet? So, but what would you say to people who says, oh, but I get results on a paleo diet? I did lose weight.
Yep. That's an awesome question again, too. And something that I asked myself many times a while ago. And, you know, to start off with, you know, for people who don't know, most people would know by now, but a paleo diet is basically a diet what people would say our caveman brethren ate, you know, who some tens of thousands of years ago, and based on meat, fish, fowl, nuts, seeds, and fatty foods, and a few fruits, and a lot of vegetables, and that's basically it. And, you know, as unfortunate as it is, I find that a lot of people, they just don't have the forethought, and they just don't – it's like they just kind of have, like, their blinders on, and they just can't see into the future very much or very far. And it's like people will just do anything to get, you know, results in the short term. If someone is tired that morning and they have to go to work, they'll go to Starbucks and get a coffee. If they are really tired in the long term and they have stuff to do, they'll go out and get a bag of cocaine. And it's like people will do whatever it takes to get results in the moment. And it's just like people are struggling so much is they just don't have the forethought and, you know, to foresee what's going to be happening in the future. And the answer is, you know, can you get good results in the short term on a paleo or low carb diet? Yes. I mean, nobody can deny that you can. If someone goes from a standard American diet or a standard Western diet, that's just, you know, the worst diet and one of the worst diets in the world, to a much cleaner, you know, diet, where on their standard American diet, they were still eating all the meat and fish and eggs they could stuff in their face before, but now they're just, you know, instead of eating Twinkies on top of that, they're eating, you know, some green vegetables and whatever else. And so you're going to get results in the short term on that. And just whenever anyone cleans up their diet, just like if someone takes gluten out of their diet or they quit drinking coffee or quit smoking, even if they're still, you know, eating bacon and eggs for breakfast, you know, they take one bad thing out of their diet or lifestyle program and they're going to get some results out of it. But it's just like, you know, it's like with anything, though. It's just like looking and seeing is like, will this really provide the long-term health and fitness results I am looking for, that the planet can sustain, everyone as a whole can sustain? I think the answer for a paleo or meat-based, animal-based diet is just an overwhelming no. And, you know, it's just one thing is, you know, I've seen many people. It's like people seem to think that, you know, it's just like the panacea of like, oh man, you just start on a more whole foods based diet with lots of animal foods, a paleo based diet of what people think is a super clean whole foods diet. You know, everything's just going to fall into place. You're going to feel great. But there are many people out there who are struggling and failing on these low carb paleo like diets. I had several people just email me within the last two or three days, and they said, oh man, I've been you know, I'm just coming off of this paleo low-carb diet. My sex drive is just absolutely through the floor. It does not exist. I'm depressed. I'm lethargic. I am not feeling good. I'm following exactly what Mark Sisson or Rob Wolf and what these people say. You know, I'm doing everything. It's just not working. I'm getting the cleanest grass-fed organic animal products that I can. And it's just, I'm feeling terrible. What can I do? And then we just start looking. It's like, okay, do you want to, you know, lose the weight for your photo shoot that's coming up next week? And so you can look really lean and cut but feel like crap and have to run on coffee and stimulants. Or do you want to feel fantastic and look lean and cut for the rest of your life? And that's when we have to start looking at, like, okay, what's the sustainable program we can follow? And so we start introducing the carbs back into their diet. We start getting rid of all the animal products and the grass-fed butter and ghee and yogurt and all the other crazy stuff that they're eating. And, you know, once we start getting those carbs back in and taking those animal products out, it's like people start feeling human again. It's like, oh my God, there's my sex drive. There's my passion and drive to go out and exercise and feel fit and healthy and talk to people and, you know, have a good time and actually do something more than, you know, troll YouTube videos on from all the vegans or something like that. And, yeah. You know, and it's just like, once we just take a second to look, and, you know, obviously everyone's big on being in the moment. And I'm a huge fan of that, but I'm also a fan of learning from my mistakes in the past, you know, enjoying the present moment, but also making sure that my future is bright and happy. And so just taking that second within the, you know, that moment or two within your present moment to looking forward is like, okay, is this going to work in the future? Is this what's going to be sustainable for my friends and family and myself and the planet and my loved ones? Is this what's going to be working for me for life? And I think once you can do that, you know, you're just really going to be on a much happier, healthier path.
Wow, you are so smart beyond your years. I cannot believe you're only 19. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Thanks so much.
Okay, but Chris, you're talking about being with your friends and family, and that's one thing that I've been thinking a lot about in preparing for this interview, because I'm thinking when you are a teenager, your peer group is very important to you.
Yes.
And, you know, if you think about what do teenagers normally eat? They eat fast food.
Yep.
Did you feel like an outsider growing up on fruits and vegetables?
You know, you've got some A-grade questions for me here.
Thank you.
It's very good. And yeah, this is something that I kind of consider it my forte, I guess you could say, because, you know, I see so many people struggling just within their own mind with, you know, especially there are a lot of young people getting into this 80-10-10 vegan lifestyle, which I think is just fantastic. It's so beautiful to see, as well as people. I mean, I know people who are getting started on it when they're 14 years old. Now people are getting started on it when they're 70 years old. It's just, you know, it's just everywhere in between. But in terms of, you know, being a younger person in the peer group, you know, I was definitely the guy who I would go out with my friends and eat, you know, chicken wings every, I think the day was Wednesday that our local bar had like cheap chicken wings or something like that. And I would go and do all those things. We would go and get pizza buffets at noon hour off of school and all those things like that. And so I was definitely right in there with everyone like that. I had lots of friends in. I have more friends now, but, you know, I still was very much within that peer group, like you were mentioning. And once I started making the change, there was a little bit of a transition period, I guess you could say, in that I was, you know, I didn't have everything handled perfectly, and I couldn't necessarily, convey what I was doing as well or as eloquently as I could now, and just getting my point across to people in the best way possible. And so when I very first started making the massive changes, like especially once I got started on like an 80-10-10 raw vegan program, where I wouldn't even go out and eat baked potatoes anymore, or, you know, whatever that might have been, there was maybe a transition period of about a month where I was just like, okay, where I'm at right now, I just really need to focus on myself and what I'm doing and getting started on this program that's going to help me feel happy and healthy for life. And so I wasn't near as social as I otherwise would have been for maybe a period of like 3 to 4 weeks. But once I got out of that, I was just like, it's just, I don't know. It's just like I knew how to handle every situation, and I just like really blossomed and was extremely outgoing like I had never been before. And you know, like I hear people say it all the time that, oh, this diet is so socially isolating. It's like, you know, it's just like anything can be socially isolating if you make it in your head. It's just like, oh, man, I'm not going to be out and go do this. Someone's going to make fun of me for eating my watermelon or my bananas. And it's like, yeah, if you have that kind of mindset, it's like you're not going to be able to do anything. It's just like if you do anything different, I mean, if you want to – you know, just be a sheep and run around with a flock like everyone else and be in your comfort zone. I mean, that's fine. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, the magic happens outside of your comfort zone. And that's where you get people to think. And that's where you inspire people. Nobody was ever inspired by the white sheep that's just walking around with everyone else.
Amen.
So it's always been the black sheep.
Yeah.
And exactly. And, you know, so from there is what I found is once I learned the tips and tricks and the things to say to get my point across and basically just to get what I want, I mean, I'll go out and do anything with anyone now. And I've been doing this for several years now. It's, you know, whether it be I'll go out to bars with people even. And fortunately in the United States now, almost all the bars are smoke free. So I don't have to suffer through that anymore, but I'll still go out with my friends and shoot pool at a bar and maybe they're drinking their whatever they're drinking. And I'll bring some water myself or a coconut or whatever.
Coconut. I love that.
And I going to music festivals. Just very recently, I went to a blues festival and I lugged a 30-pound watermelon through a crowd of, you know, 100,000 some people, and I cracked it open with my knee on the ground and ate it with my hands right at the blues festival. And so, like, once I find it's just like if people kind of have a sense of humor about what they're doing, and I think the key thing is the confidence and knowledge. Doing, and that's just so key. And it's just like if you're not very firmly rooted in the ground and what you're doing, and if someone walks up to you and says, you know, I had a brother and he was a vegan once and he got real sick, and you're like, oh man, maybe this isn't such a good thing, and then you jump to the nearest McDonald's you can and get a, you know, a Baconator or whatever it is. And it's just like if the littlest tiny breeze just blows you over because you're not confident or don't have the knowledge to support what you're doing, I mean, anything is going to topple you over. But if you just keep on rooting, you know, more firmly rooting those roots in the ground with the knowledge and the expertise it takes to communicate with people effectively and have the knowledge to, you know, communicate to them is just so key in, you know, keeping successful with what you're doing and learning to just give that to people in a way that they will understand it. And so whether it's a dinner party or a wedding or, you know, a birthday party, a bachelor party, whatever it is, I mean, if they don't have what I want to eat there with me, I either it doesn't bother me, I'll just have whatever else is there, or you know just not have anything or bring my own thing. Or, you know, bring my own food, BYOF, bring my own bananas, BYOB, you know, whatever. Yes. It might be. I've learned the ways that it just takes to effortlessly, you know, remain as social as I've ever been on this lifestyle. And, you know.
And Chris, I think the key word here is confident. And also when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And if you just say, okay, I feel good about this diet, then by law of attraction, the people you surround yourself, they will actually react mostly in a positive way because that's the energy that you are sending out there.
Yes. Yes, that is just so absolutely true. And it's like if you go into a situation and you're like, oh, man, this isn't going to work. I have, you know, I'm going to eat 3 or 4 bananas in front of these people and they're going to make fun of me and I'm going to be some, you know, vegan wussy who didn't eat the steak and they're going to make fun of me and it's just not going to work out well. If you have that in your head, that's probably exactly what's going to happen because you throw thought out there, that energy out there, and you're going to attract exactly that. But if you just go in there confidently and, you know, just know what's going to happen. Just seeing that happen out in your head and knowing that it's going to all work out for the better. I mean, that's probably what's going to happen. It's just like that's the big thing that people just don't seem to grasp. And, you know, it's just like once you learn how to just get that down, it's just like it just makes it so effortless.
One of the big questions that I have for you, Chris, is that a lot of people are afraid to eat big volumes of fruit because they have believed all their life that fruit, too much fruit sugar is fattening.
And I even saw a very, now I don't remember his name, but there was a very overweight guy at the Woodstock Fruit Festival this year who is losing weight, and you can follow him. He's so brave. You can follow his journey on YouTube. Do you remember his name?
His name is Richard Widmark.
Okay. And he even did a video the other day where he said that he noticed that when he just ate as much fruit as he wanted, he lost a lot of weight, but he still had a hard time really believing that it was true, even though he had the proof. It's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just such something that we have been bombarded with our whole life. So I'm thinking, okay, again, you are 15 when you started this. Did you ever feel like, okay, is it okay for me to have 30 bananas a day? Isn't it too much? What's your thought about that?
You know, that's just such a massive part of such a big hurdle to overcome on this lifestyle. I mean, I would say the number one biggest struggle that people have with this lifestyle is giving themselves permission to eat enough, to put enough fuel in their tank to live the high energy, passionate lifestyle they really want to live. And I think that's just the biggest struggle, hands down, because we have so much conditioning in us from society. It's just like, you know, we sit down to dinner with friends and, you know, everyone's kind of like showing off how much restraint they have almost. I mean, it's not really obvious if you're not really tapped into it, but once you really know what's going on, it sticks out like a sore thumb, and you can just see it like nothing. It's just like, you know, people are just like, oh, well, I'll take the salad without any dressing. You know, there's like a few leaves of lettuce and a crouton and a tomato. And, you know, I'll have the poached fish or whatever, and they'll only eat half of it. And, you know, all these little tiny things. It's just like, you know, it's just like people are just trying to restrict as much as they can. And ultimately what it is people – it's not reality, though. People aren't really doing this all the time. When you go home to those people's houses, they have chocolate and egg, you know, fried egg sandwiches and everything else like that. And they're not proud of it, but they're eating it. And so it's kind of misleading. It's like the people who genuinely are doing it, which is very few, those people usually crack mentally, and then they really start eating some nasty stuff. Or it's the people who are, you know, binging out just enough to keep their sanity, and but they're still not proud of it, they're still not happy with it, and they're still not getting the results that they want. But it's just the big thing that I try to get across to people is we need to have a paradigm shift, because we're not eating, you know, fish and chicken and butter-drenched potatoes anymore. We're not eating pizza and burgers anymore. And so we just have to get out of that mentality. Okay, before I could eat 3 slices of pizza without gaining weight, and so that's all I'm going to have now, and I'm only going to have 3 bananas, and maybe I won't gain weight then. You know what I mean? It's just like, it sounds funny, but it's so real.
And
it's just the big thing is like, okay, be proud of yourself that you have chose to rise above the status quo, and you are not eating pizza and burgers anymore. Your reward is that you get to eat as much of the sweetest, most succulent, delicious food on the face of the planet. The challenge is eating enough of it. You have somewhere between all you can and all you care for. That is enough fruit for yourself for the day. And, you know, for myself, I see it just is a treat. It's just like, I mean, even like, you know, some 80-10-10ers will look at how much food I'm eating, and you're like, what, you're going to eat all that? That's what I eat in a day. And it's like, no, this is just what I'm eating for lunch.
And okay, so let's go over, what do you actually eat in a day? I know a lot of people are very curious about that.
Yeah,
can you walk us through that?
You know, what I do is over the past year and a half or so, I have gotten into the habit of eating 2 meals a day. And for most people, I wouldn't recommend that just because of the sheer difficulty of getting enough calories in 2 meals a day. But I can just pack it down like no other. And so it's very easy for me. And I find with my lifestyle, it's very accommodating, easy enough for me to do so. But my first meal of the day is typically between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. And that is typically all I care for, all I can stomach of one type of fruit that's in season. And so that might be 5 big cantaloupe melons, or 20-pound, 10-kilo watermelon, or 15 or 20 good-sized bananas, excuse me, or, you know, maybe 10 mangoes or something like that, whatever's in season, or persimmons or dates or anything like that. And so it's typically, well, not always just one type of fruit. I am a big fan of having that mono fruit meal at that, you know, for my big meal of the day there. And then in the evening, again, I'll have all the fruit I care for before my dinner salad. And so for fruit, that might be another 5 or 10 bananas, or a few mangoes, or some nectarines, or persimmons, or whatever, again, whatever's in season, some oranges. And then followed by a massive, massive salad. And it's like, it just dwarfs anyone else's, you know, typical comprehension or interpretation of a salad. And so that's typically between about a pound and a half, or maybe a little bit more, of green vegetables. And my favorite would be romaine lettuce. And so I'll just chop that up in a bowl. And then I'll
Dressing? What about dressing?
Yes, good. That's one of my favorite things, is making good dressings in the salad, in my homemade, in my blender. And so I'll blend up as many tomatoes as I can fit in the blender. So maybe a medium-sized avocado, or maybe 1 to 2 ounces of nuts and seeds, one or the other, something like that. And then some herbs like dill or cilantro, maybe a little bit of chive. And maybe some mango in there to sweeten it up, whatever I'm feeling like, but just basically using that basic formula for making a salad dressing, with changing out the different herbs, maybe using coconut instead of nuts and seeds some nights, anything like that. And then I'll just blend that up, and it's usually like a massive amount, like a liter and a half of dressing. And so I blend that up and then pour that over my supersize me salad. And then that is my dinner for the night. And for the end of the day, typically it's just over 3,000 calories or so for the day, but it varies so much depending on what I'm doing. You know, if I'm out riding my bike all day, it'll be over 6,000 calories for the day, or, you know, maybe closer to
6,000.
That's not a very often for me, but that's if I'm really having a hard day on the bike and really pushing it. You know, I'll just
Chris, that leads me to how much do you exercise? Because I know people are thinking that, okay, with 3,000 calories, you must exercise a ton.
You know, I don't, to be honest. Those 6,000 calorie days, like I said, those are very rare. Those are days where I'm going to like try to do a personal best on how far I can ride my bike in the end of the day or something like that. And the last time I did that was in March, to give you some perspective on that. Typically for being active, I'm not a huge fan of exercise, because I remember used to like forcing myself to go on a treadmill for a half hour and absolutely hating it and looking forward to getting done with it. And so I'm not a huge fan of doing activities like that that you don't really enjoy doing. So I just go out and play and have fun. And I love running. I love cycling. I love doing bodyweight exercises. I love lifting weights and all sorts of things like that. But on average, I would say, you know, I don't do more than, you know, 30 to maybe 50 minutes tops of activity for the day. And that's not all out like pushing it really hard. Maybe I'll go out for an easy jog for 30 or 40 minutes, or lift some weights for, you know, a half hour, 40 minutes or something like that. And, you know, I'll do that most days out of the week. Maybe I'll take a day off if I feel like it, or several days off if I feel like it. Past few days, I haven't done much of anything other than type on the computer. But, you know, so it's like an ebb and flow of things like that. But I'm definitely not out there like just exercising, you know, huge amounts. I have a sedentary job. I work on the computer almost all the day, and the most time I get off my butt actually is if I go out to go for a jog for a half hour to an hour tops.
And also, Chris, I think the important point here is that this is not a diet that's about restriction. This is about abundance. This is about good tasting juicy foods.
Yes. Sweet, juicy food.
It's not about counting calories, because, and that's what I found so interesting, because I didn't go on 80-10-10 to lose weight, but I did lose weight. Yay! That was just a very, very nice side effect, but it wasn't my primal motivation.
Yep.
So it does happen, and I eat a lot of bananas, and I eat between 2,000 and 3,000 calories a day, and I don't exercise like a crazy woman. I mean, I go for a walk every day for about an hour. That's it.
Yeah, that's perfect. See, the thing is just like consistency is the key thing, you know. I'm not like a super elite fit person by any means, but I'm the fittest I've ever been in my life, and it's just astonishing to me from where I was before I can actually go out and run a 10K or run for an hour without stopping. That's just insane to me to even comprehend. But the big thing is just consistency. Like, when I was very first getting started losing weight, I was over 300 pounds, and I couldn't run around the block at a pace versus, let alone go out and run a 10K or run for several miles. I mean, you just would – I'd be dead before I did that. And so what I did is I just went out and started taking my dog for a walk for 20 minutes at a time, a half hour at a time, little simple things like that. And then from there, once I started being more comfortable with riding a bike, is I just went out and rode my, $70 Walmart bike for, whatever I wanted to or for as far as I could go. And the key thing was just consistency. It wasn't some sort of, insanity, P90X, extreme blowout program that's just magic, cure-all pill. It was just consistency. And from there, just building that up and staying consistent with what you're doing and going at a pace that you can sustain, maintain, and eventually improve on is just such a key thing. I mean, if I just, without ever running in my life, if I just went out and tried to run 20 kilometers, I mean, I would hurt myself severely, and that just wouldn't work for me. And I probably would hate running after that and never do it again. But just starting off running for a minute at a time, 3 minutes at a time, 5 minutes at a time, and building up consistently from there over the weeks and months is really just the key thing to, improving on your fitness and keeping an active lifestyle. Because I do think that an active lifestyle, or at least being somewhat consistently active, is important no matter what lifestyle you're on. But you don't have to be out running marathons and riding your bike for 3 hours a day. Because I don't do anything close to that on a regular basis at all.
But the key, Chris, is consistency. And that's the word that you say a lot. And I love that. That's really the key. It's not what you do once in a while. It's what you do every day, or almost every day. You don't go brush your teeth once a week. I mean, you brush them a couple of times a day, It's the same.
Yeah, you got to do it consistently. And that's
it's just the same. Yeah. Thing. Chris, I would love to jump back to the beginning, because did you have, how did you get motivated? I mean, did you have a vision? Did you see yourself where you are right now? The reason I'm asking that question is that I coach a lot of people who want to lose weight. And I always say that the most important thing is don't hate yourself and your body where you are now. Be thankful for where you are now and just know that you have a great potential. Just see yourself where you want to go, because negative thoughts can't create a positive. Negative thoughts can't create a positive result.
Yes.
So how do you feel about that? Did you have a vision? Did you have an aha moment? Was it a spiritual thing? Did Jesus show up? I mean, what happened? 16 or 15 years old?
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful, by the way. Just having that, exactly like you said, negative thoughts can't create a positive future for yourself.
No.
I wish I could tell people that I had just a lightning – that I distinctly remember a lightning bulb, moment light bulb going on, just like, aha, that's what I need to do. And I don't consciously remember having anything like that, and I don't believe I did. But the thing was is kind of like what I alluded to before in the beginning was just looking in the mirror. And first of all, there was always that thing in the back of my mind – like, going to sporting events or anything like that and seeing all the fit kids my age and the healthy, happy kids my age. And they were just confident in what they were doing and having a good time and not being held back by the way they felt about themselves or the way their body looked or felt or what they could physically do. And so I always had that in the back of my mind, like, man, I wish I could just, go out and do that without having any holds barred and just go ahead and just go for it. And so there was always that in the back of my mind, but it wasn't consciously like a drive to like, oh man, I got to do that and this is what I got to do. It eventually just got to the point, like I said before, it's just looking in the mirror and not liking what I was seeing, and what I kept doing day in and day out wasn't taking me where I wanted to go. And so I needed to change what I was doing. And one thing I think is just really, really crucial in any type of, program that you're doing is knowing where you want to go and eventually where you want to end up. I mean, because if you don't know where you want to go, you're probably not going to like where you end up. And it's definitely totally fine. And it's a treat to, be flexible within your journey and take some detours and enjoy the ride on the way. But having a set goal in mind, a realistic, attainable you know, unchangeable goal in mind is really crucial in my mind. And so for me, it was just, you know, becoming as fit and healthy as I could be, and relative to my own individual capacity to do so. And so while there wasn't like an image in my head that like I would see myself doing what I am today right now, I mean, that I'd be lying to you if I told you that was true. I am still amazed to to see where I am right now. Like, I never would have believed I would be doing what I am right now. But, you know, I think just like you said before, of just being, you know, comfortable with where you are at right now, because, you know, it's, while we might not be as happy or confident with exactly where we are at right now in our own bodies right now, you have to be loving to yourself and realize that, you know, it's just perfect where you are right now, because it's a good chance you needed to experience that to really make the long lasting lifestyle changes you really want to make to feel and look your best. And so while I've always had in the back of my mind, it's like, man, I wish I was just one of those guys that was born and could eat whatever he wanted to and felt great and looked great, but I wasn't. And I understand that there was a reason for that. And, you know, I'm glad that I went through what I did and, went over the hurdles and, you know, slammed on my face, tripping over those hurdles that I did to experience it. And, you know, and so what I think I try to do is kind of like help teach people from my failures and my experiences and say, no, the hurdle's right in front of you. You know, don't try to jump over it and then trip over it and fall right on your face. Let's go around the hurdle. Here's what you need to do to go around that and make it as easy as possible on yourself. And so I think that's the key thing here is being comfortable with where you are at right now. But exactly like you said, Gita, is just realizing that you are just, you know, this energy of like infinite potential that you can do whatever you want to do. And so it's just all just perfect. And so maybe you're overweight and have some pimples on your face and don't feel as good as you are right now, but you're going to get there.
Yeah, you're going to get there. And also, you know, it's just loving yourself where you are right now. And I know that it sounds so difficult and yet it's so simple. You know, we only have two emotions, fear and love. And everything that you think about and all your words and all your behavior, they are either in alignment with love or fear. And yes, you can lose weight by being motivated with fear, but it doesn't last. Exactly. If you want to go on the long-term journey like you do, you really need the most important thing, and that is to love yourself through it and to forgive yourself when you make mistakes. We all make mistakes. It's a part of being humans. But, you know, it makes me so sad, the people who believe that their worth as a human being is connected to their weight, because your worth has nothing to do with your body. I mean, you are fabulous no matter how many pounds you weigh. So it has nothing to do with that. But, you know, health educators like you just want to help people reach that potential and make them feel better. It's not about forcing anybody who doesn't want to change, but it's just about saying, okay, there's another alternative. And the strongest thing is leading by example, which you're doing. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about becoming a motivational speaker?
You know, I've had several people tell me that I could do a pretty good thing doing something like that.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And, you know, I'm totally open to doing anything that anything that I can do to inspire and help people, to help inspire people to make positive changes in their lives and others' lives is, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do that. And so whether it's making crazy YouTube videos on my website or doing motivational speaking, anything like that, I'm just totally open to doing whatever I want to do, whatever I can do to help make make humanity better.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
so what's your mission? What's your mission, Chris? Are you in school today, or what do you do for a living?
What I do for a living is, as soon as I got out of high school, or when I was still in high school, I knew what I wanted to do. And I looked at the whole, you know, going to university and everything like that. I was going to go and get like a degree in nutrition or something like that. And then I just remember looking what my classes would be freshman year. And I think my very first class was going to be on the nutritional qualities of different cuts of meat. And I was just like, oh, no.
No, thank you.
No, and I mean, like, I know, I think it's different over in Europe. And like, over in Europe, you guys have people, the government pays for your university, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Over here, you are going to university for 4 years, and then you are paying off your student loans until you are in your 60s,
literally. You know what? This will shock you. The government pays you to go to school here.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. You get paid. You get paid. I mean, not a lot, but you get so you can have a little apartment and have food.
That is just – that's just so beyond comprehension for me right now, because over here, I mean – it's, I mean, if people want to go to school, if they want to do something, I mean, that is great. You know, go and do that. But for where I was at personally, I don't have disposable income. My family doesn't. And so I would be taking out loans and paying for my university for years and years and years to come. And I would be 4 years behind what I could be doing right now.
Yeah.
And so what I did as soon as I got out of high school is I took some courses by some business mentors of mine of learning how to make a living while making the world a better place. And so what I do right now is, just like you were mentioning, you do get a, is I do one-on-one health, weight loss, and lifestyle coaching with people, being their mentor, and as well as offering various digital products to sell, basically just on self-improvement, weight loss, health, fitness, everything like that. You won't ever see me selling superfoods or supplements or, you know, cacao and goji berries and stuff like that. You know, people can make a lot more money doing that, but I like sleeping well at night, and so that's not worth the trade-off for me. I like helping people. And so, you know, just doing that, and eventually I'll be writing ebooks and you know, print books and things like that, and just making my living by spreading the word and helping people in that way. And so that's what I do. And so I'm not independently wealthy or anything like that.
No, but you know what? You're wealthy in your heart. And I mean, your future is just so bright. It burns my eyes. Seriously. You, I have no worries that you don't have an education, because I can tell you that I have a long education from the university. And of course, I appreciate everything I learned, but I have learned so much more by picking my own teachers after, yes, I graduated. I mean, when I think about the money that it cost the government, but I can learn some. We are in an information overload,
yes,
society now, or world. So you can basically just go on Google and learn a lot.
You can literally go and get lectures from professors,
yeah,
from at universities on IU or iUniversity,
exactly,
or iTunes or YouTube or, yeah, anything. It's just astonishing what people can learn right now. And so I think the best thing to do for most people, it's just the big takeaway, is, you know, pick your teachers and don't necessarily force yourself into spending tens of thousands of dollars to listen to someone who is sincere but really is sincerely wrong in what they're teaching, and it's just keeping people overweight and sick and not as happy and healthy as they could be. I mean, you know, doctors and everyone, I genuinely believe 99% of them really are just genuinely doing as good of a job as they know that they can do.
I believe, but, so too.
Yeah, yeah. I really believe that. Yeah. And there's a time and place for medicine and everything, yeah, like that. But for most of it, it's just coming down to self-education of, you know, it's just crazy. Like, what you can learn from doing a Google search or doing a YouTube search, it's just, even in the last 2 or 3 years, it's just changed so much. It's just astonishing of what people can learn right now. And so it's just becoming more and more true that ignorance is a choice in today's, yeah, world. And you know, there are people who are working very hard to keep that ignorance the default, the norm, but for the people who really want it, they can get it if they just take have the initiative to do what it takes to find out.
Right now we're going through a phase where the paleo diet is such a big thing. Do you think it's going to change, so the 80-10-10 or raw food, more plant-based diet,
yep,
is that going to be the next big thing in the next 10 years? What are your predictions?
100%. It's long term, people will do what works. I mean, people, they just do what works. Whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, they're going to do what works. And fortunately for everyone else, it seems to be the overwhelming common denominator. The factor just comes down to be is the quote unquote right thing to do is the good thing to do is just what works. And so, well, you know, the paleo thing just seems to be exploding right now because it's the equivalent of the latest fat, you know, the fat burning pill. That's it's just like a laugh of like remembering, you know, back in the 80s when people would take. I don't remember it back in the 80s, but I've heard people in the 80s.
You were not born yet.
I was not born yet in the 80s. So don't let me mislead you. No. But I know, but you know, back in the 80s and 90s when people were literally selling diet pills that had tapeworms in them, and the tapeworm would eat all the food that you ate, and so you could eat whatever you wanted and you wouldn't actually digest it and actually, you know, truly be eating it, and then you'd lose all this weight, but then you'd feel terrible, you'd get anemic, you wouldn't be any of these nutrients. And I think,
well, it doesn't matter if you look good in those jeans.
Exactly. I think the paleo diet is the 21st century tapeworm diet pill, and maybe that's from eating all the raw meat and fish and sushi and all the other crazy things that they're eating. Maybe 99% of all these paleo gurus have just these massive tapeworms in their colons, and they are just running off of coffee and Red Bull for the whole day, and that's what's really going on. I don't really know. I'm not making any accusations here on specific people, but that's just looking at what they're eating. It's just a genuine concern of these tapeworms and all this other horrible things that are very real and very real issues. But, you know, like I got back to saying, you know, I think this is just more of like the fad kind of diet thing of people can basically keep doing what they're doing and eating bacon and eggs for breakfast and, you know, put a bunch of coconut oil and butter on top of it and call it a healthy meal, and, you know, just throw out the bread, and that's all they have to do. They'll just replace it with a few extra slices of bacon.
Yeah.
And so basically they can just keep doing what they're doing, and so it's easy for people to do, but ultimately it's just not going to work for them long term. And so getting back to people who are just going to do what works is, you know, 80-10-10, more of a plant-based diet, even a, you know, diet based on like a
starches.
I mean, you'll get in massive, massive results on a program like that. In my opinion, for most people, you're going to get better results going more of a fruit-based diet. But if for whatever reason you don't want to do, you know, that 100% thing in your head just doesn't matter, which I don't think it's going to matter that much to people. Just go for that, and that's going to be your second best for sure.
Chris, let's focus a little bit on that one, because okay. I would like you to explain what you experienced on a diet with rice, potatoes, more starchy food, versus a fruitarian diet. What's the difference in energy and weight loss?
You know, well, again, like to start off with, you know, people will get massive sustainable. That's the key thing. People will even get sustainable results on a starch-based program, given they're not eating just, you know, rice. You know, fit in as many fresh fruits and vegetables as you can or you can afford. But a diet based off of starches, a vegan diet that's free of oil and excess fat and animal products, etc., is going to get massive results. And for me, even just switching up my, you know, ham and cheese sandwiches with a glass of milk and yogurt, like I was eating before, for a massive pot of rice and vegetables, and just giving up those dairy products, even when I was trading up my dairy products for like raw dairy products and things like that, I could breathe through my nose for the first time in my life, literally. And
wow.
It was just astonishing the immediate results I got from just going from there to there. And the energy was just, you know, massive improvements compared to what it was before. And so, you know, and so I did a starch-based thing for over a year, I believe. It's all gone so fast. I wish I would have more objectively tracked it. But and so I just got, you know, massive results from doing that. And I would literally be eating. I mean, I tell people that I was losing weight and that I've lost weight eating all the potatoes I care for. And people, it's just like telling people the same thing with fruit. It's like people just can't believe it. It's like, you lost weight eating potatoes?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I didn't dump all the sour cream and butter and bacon bits and cheese on top of my potatoes when I was eating. And I used salsa or ketchup or, you know, tomatoes or whatever else like that, or fresh herbs and spices. And you know. And so in terms of energy and everything like that, I find that everything was just seemed more efficient on a fruit-based diet than a starch-based diet. It's like everything just flowed more smoothly. It felt a little bit lighter. It's just – it felt like, you know, I was just – I had a little bit more get up and go. You know, I was okay. Just like, I was ready to go. And, you know, and so that's, I think, is the biggest thing in between that. You know, digestion was a little bit more smooth, a little more effortless, and everything like that. But in terms of like it being like, you know, like a night or day difference in the sense that like, oh my God, you know, this just the starch-based thing just doesn't work for anyone. You know, I don't think that I would say anything near that. I think people get, you know, just great results on a starch-based vegan low-fat diet. But I think, you know, it's kind of like I've heard people say before, you know, the analogy of like the gold and silver, you know, the gold being your fruit-based diet, the silver being your starch-based diet. And if you have to get first or second place, I mean, those are some pretty good odds. Yeah. And so pick one of those two, whatever works for you within your social, your psychological preferences, your emotional state at that time, yeah. Or what you can afford. I mean, literally, I mean, anyone in the world can afford a starch-based diet, no matter where you are in the world. I mean, there are a lot of people across the world who don't eat – who eat a starch-based diet, not based on because they think it's healthy, but because that's literally all they can afford. And so it's like the original value meal. But, you know, because it can be some challenging in some parts of the world to get sufficient amounts of fruit for their – literally just for their dollar. It's not necessarily a – at least in the time being, you know, there are always adjustments people can make to, you know, provide more income for their food if yeah. they choose. And I think that's attainable for everyone. But, you know, for the people who just maybe they just don't want to put that much effort into that program at that time, I mean, just going to Costco and getting a 30-pound bag of potatoes for a few dollars. I mean, it's just like
almost everybody can do that. I mean, here in Denmark, like a mango costs about $2.
Yeah.
So if I eat 10 mangoes for breakfast or lunch, I mean, that's a pretty expensive, but I prioritize it, so I do it. But I get why not everybody maybe can afford it.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's just, it comes down to a matter of choice. I mean, I don't spend my money on pharmaceutical drugs or drugs no. or alcohol anymore or chicken wings and pizza and things like that. And so I literally know people who spend more money on pharmaceutical drugs that they take because of the diet that they're eating. They literally spend more on those drugs in a week's time than I do on every single bite of food that I eat in yeah. a week's time. And that's not including the food that they're eating that makes them sick. And so it just comes down to priorities. I mean, I'm sitting here in my, you know, $7 thrift store pants right now. I mean, I just there are things that I have done to become savvy enough to, you know, allow the income that I need to, you know, free up the money that was otherwise going into, you know, remedial things that really didn't yeah. need spending on. It's an investment to my health.
It's an investment.
It's health assurance versus health insurance. I insure.
I love that.
Healthy on a daily basis.
Say that again, Chris. Health.
It's health assurance versus health insurance, and wow. It's kind of a I remember hearing Dr. Douglas Graham say that in an old lecture from a long time ago, and I kind of modified it to right now. But health assurance versus health insurance, and so you know, it's just assuring yourself that you're going to be happy and healthy every day by investing into those things that are conducive to your health and happiness and your well-being.
Yeah, I also have a feeling that a lot of you 80-10-10 stars, you have a very simple life. Yes. You enjoy simple living. Do you do that as well?
Absolutely. I don't, you know, I'm not, you know, driving around in my Corvette and, you know, around my beach apartment and, you know, beachside apartment in Malibu or anything like that. I mean, I live a very comfortable, fulfilling life, but I spend very, very little money. It's a treat for me if I, you know, splurge on some sort of artisan melon or tomatoes or something like that. And, you know, but it's what I enjoy spending my money on. And so yeah. I enjoy doing that. But other than that, I, you know, sleep in my car or whatever else it takes. And I just, it's just like people will look at my lifestyle now and they'll just kind of laugh and think that, you know, I haven't gone anywhere in life, but in reality, it's just like, no, I don't go home to my, you know, fancy apartment and, sure. you know, in the suburbs with my big screen TV and, you know, driving home with my Corvette, but
a lot of you also go to Thailand because the fruit is so cheap and they have an abundance of fruit there. Isn't that true?
It's exactly true. And, you know, I'll go over there and, you know, okay, over there I live a rather luxury, rather lavish lifestyle, but that's because I'm spending less money than I am in a month's time, you know, over here. And so I'll go over there and get, you know, a massage almost on a daily basis and all the fruit that I care for and everything like that. But it's just, you know, keeping your overhead low enough. And, you know, the big sport thing for me is just the plane ticket over there. But once I get over there, it's like, okay, you know, I can do this. You know, it's, I love, you know, putting my money into, when I have the money, I love putting it into things that matter. So I love putting my money into high quality organic fruit and vegetable farms in those farmers. I love supporting those farmers, you know, healthy vegan products, ecologically sustainable products, everything like that. I love putting my money into things like that. And so, you know, I'm not saying, you know, be a bum and just, you know, mooch off of everyone else. Like somebody,
no, but these are your values and they work for you.
I value, and I'm not mooching off of other people. I'm just,
and
that's what a lot of people do. It's just they're smart in what they spend their money on. And so that's the big takeaway, is just being smart and savvy enough to, you know, lead that sustainable lifestyle that's going to keep you happy and healthy for the rest of your life.
So Chris, I'm very curious about your family. Are they vegans as well? I mean, when you grow up in a family as a kid and you're overweight, I'm thinking it's not just the kid. It must be the whole family most of the time.
Yeah. You know, definitely children will, you know, they'll grow up by the examples that they were set by their family. It is basically, and that's exactly what I did. And, you know, I would have the pot roast on Sundays and go out and get the bacon and eggs and sausage patty for breakfast with my dad and things like that. And so, and I'm not, you know, blaming anyone for what I was doing, you know.
No, it's not about blame. It's just an explanation.
Explanation is the reason for it, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's definitely what I grew up in. My family is anything but vegan or follows anything but a healthy diet. My joke is, you know, with my brother, if it's not sprayed on via the, you know, mineral supplement in the Pop-Tarts or the Coca-Cola, he doesn't get it. And so, you know,
is your brother still overweight?
No, he's one of the little dudes that seems like he can eat anything that he wants and stay relatively thin, but it always catches up with people, unfortunately. And he's only 13 years of age, and he's already having some health problems with his heart and things, really scary things like that. And so, you know, and so whether or not people get overweight, it always catches up to them in one way or the other, you know. But, you know, so my family definitely is anything but what I'm doing right now. But they have seen the massive transformation that I've had. And they're just like, you know, Chris, you know, this whole vegan thing, this whole crazy, you know, banana diet, fruit bat thing, it's probably, I mean,
you've gone bananas.
Yeah, you've gone bananas, and we see that it works. We see that it's working fantastic, and it would probably work amazing for us too, but we're just not willing to do it. And so that's fair enough. If people will either come around in their own time or they won't at all. And so until then, I'm just going to keep being that healthy, happy person who's eating his fruits and vegetables and inspiring other people to become fit and healthy and being that lighthouse of shining light and that example that just inspires people to make those positive changes in their lives. And so like anything, and like whether I'm doing a video or talking to someone in person or anything, my whole goal isn't necessarily to convince someone or guilt someone into doing something, you know. I mean, because if people do that, it's not really real, I don't think. If like, oh man, I really shouldn't be eating this pork chop right now or drinking this coffee or whatever, but I really kind of want to, but I probably shouldn't. I don't think that that's really a real thing to do. And so what I want to do is I want to inspire people to make those positive changes in their lives and others' lives. And by that, they truly convince themselves that this is the right thing to do and they want to do that. I didn't convince them it's the right thing to do, and they should think they should do that. They feel like they're obligated to do that. I inspired them to inspire themselves to make the changes that they want in their lives. And so definitely don't wait for your family to, you know, support you in what you're doing. Someone's got to go first. You know, in every single case, someone has to go first. It's just like I'll think sometimes if I'm out on a bike ride and I'm picking up all the, you know, trash and beer bottles and beer cans, things like that in the ditches. It's like, why am I doing this? Oh, because no one else is, and someone else had to go first. And so, you know, I guess you could take – just be proud of yourself for making the intelligent decision to – you know, that's good for yourself, but also, you know, inspiring other people to hopefully eventually do the same and inspire them to lead the happy, healthy lifestyle that you experience on a daily basis.
Your mom and dad must be so proud. I mean, I am like sitting here tearing up thinking that you're 19. I want to adopt you. You're 19.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. You must cheat on your birth certificate. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, some people have told me that I had some pretty fulfilling past lives, I guess you could say. So I got an early start, maybe.
You're like a young Tony Robbins. I think he started when he was 14, motivating people. You're the new Tony Robbins in the raw food world.
Oh man, I'd be honored to take that title one of these days.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm such a fan, Chris. I mean, really, I hope that you are so proud of yourself. And I know that not all listeners are going to agree with what's the right food to eat. And it's really not even about that. It's about what motivates you and what feels right for you.
Yes.
And I'm just so proud of you for standing up for what you believe in and walking your talk and talking your walk. And, you know, how do you not take criticism personally? Because you do YouTube videos, and I'm a very active blogger, YouTube videos, podcast, but the place I get most criticized is on YouTube. Yep. It's a jungle out there. I mean, people are just, most people are very nice, but 5% of the people, they are just mean and stupid and ignorant. So yes. How do you deal with that? How does that not bum you out?
That's an excellent question again. And first of all, I genuinely and sincerely appreciate your kind words. I mean, it really, it's the fuel to my fire. It's one of the primary fuels to my fire. And I sincerely appreciate every single kind word.
I'm your biggest cheerleader. I feel like being your manager. Like, okay, let's get Chris out into the corporate world and do power talks. That's what I do for a living. I do power talks for companies.
That's
and
beautiful.
You could, I know what I'm talking about. You can definitely do that.
Yeah, things are, people are going to be, I'll be a household name here before too long. And
you will.
It's definitely going to be for the better. And
yeah, we need to get you on Oprah.
Yes.
You will get out there.
I'll be on Oprah. I'll be on Dr. Oz. I'll be on it all.
You will. Oh, yes, you will. And I will help you in every way I can.
Because it's just, you know, not because I'm headstrong or whatever. It's just like people want to get this information and they're going to get it one way or the other. And I'll be the messenger to give it to them.
But you know why you will? Because your motivation is not to be a star.
Yeah.
Your motivation is that you have a real intent, and I could just feel that you're the real deal. You have such a strong intention of helping yourself and helping other people. And that is a huge difference between people want to shine on stage because they are not shining in their own life.
Yes.
Which we experience on X Factor a lot. And, you know, idols, people don't shine in their own life, so they want the spotlight to shine on them. There's a big difference between that and what you're doing. It's like there's a big difference between, do I want to be a singer or do I want to be famous?
Yes.
If you really want to be a singer, you'll sing in a bar for no money. You'll sing. I mean, it's not about that.
Yeah, but if you want to be famous, you just go be a crazy person and be willing to take your top off or something.
Exactly. And fame is just not real.
Yeah,
so.
It's just and so that's a really good point to spring up, definitely.
But I was asking you, I'm sorry, Chris, I'm getting off track. But I was asking you, I was asking, how do you not take it personally? Because, I mean, I'm almost 40 years old and I can still be a little upset when somebody criticizes me and they don't get my point, and I get very frustrated, like, why don't you get my message?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really good point again. I mean, that's probably the one determining factor that keeps most people from even starting up a YouTube channel and being vocal about what they're really passionate about, is scared of the haters on the internet. And it's like you said, it's a jungle out there and people are ruthless. I mean, they're, especially YouTube, it seems like the comments on YouTube are like the bane of society. It's just like, it's kind of a, it's like a joke sometimes. It's just like, you know, I'll open up my my YouTube comment section, it's like, seriously? This is like, this guy's for real? And, you know, but the big thing is, you know, when you're confident in what you're doing and you're passionate about it, I mean, no amount of flack and, you know, mean, unkind words or criticism is really going to stop you from delivering that message or at the very least, just keep on doing what you're doing. Kind of like what I was alluding to before with, you know, rooting those roots firmly in the ground and keeping them firmly in the ground is just so key in that confidence there. But, you know, the big thing is one of my good friends, Harley, who you just commented very recently, he's always going on about not taking things personally. And when I very first started hearing that,
another great teacher, yes.
When I very first started hearing that a few years ago, I was kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. But then when you really just start getting out in the real world and experiencing it, it's just like how important that really is. I mean, for all I know, that troll that just left me this horrible, mean, nasty, personal comment on my YouTube channel, for all I know, he is just, you know, he's been following the paleo diet for 3 years now. He has no sex drive whatsoever. He can't, you know, he is so unconfident in what he's doing. He can't talk to girls. He's just not having a good time. And he's looking for an answer. And his outlet is trying to criticize all these happy, healthy, fit, vibrant, 80-10-10 vegans, and that's his outlet. That's how he, you know, gets to sleep at night. And I don't know that for fact, but that's very possible in almost every single case. And, you know, so just thinking of that, it's just like, okay, so what is that person going through? They are, you know, just having there's a war going on inside their body by the things that they are choosing to partake in. And, you know, you can't have peace in your mind when the rest of your body is at war. And, you know, so just keeping that in mind of like, okay, putting yourself in the other person's shoes, really. It's just like, okay, what is that person going through? Maybe they are having a really terrible relationship right now or whatever's going on. Or maybe they are just genuinely, as unfortunate as, maybe they're just genuinely a very miserable person and they're going to do everything they can to try to put out this massive light that I'm trying to shed in the world. And there are very many people, unfortunately, in this world who are trying to do just that. And it's very sad and it's very unfortunate. But
you're not in it. It's not, it has nothing to do with you. You're just an outlet.
That's their problem. It's not my problem. I mean, it can be, I'm not going to make it sound like I'm perfect. It can be challenging sometimes, like, especially me. I mean, people get, like, they're, you know, they have no lives. They have all day to sit behind a computer to think of something that's going to try to make you mad. But, you know, and so they can get very personal, and it gets to, I just laugh at it anymore, though. It's just like, man, this guy really tried his best to try to get a rise out of me, but it didn't work. And so, well, I'm just going to, you know.
I very often think about a sentence that I heard Oprah Winfrey say once. She said, it takes greatness to recognize greatness. Yes. And it sounds like I'm full of myself when I'm saying that, but you know, it really does help me, because I know that I make mistakes, but I always know that my intention by everything that I do is loving. So at least I can come back to that my intention was good.
Yes. You know, I'm not the kind of person that drags my tail between my legs for taking good care of myself or admitting that I'm a good person, that I'm doing what's right. Very few people out there are willing to say what is right and what is wrong. And there is some gray area. I'm not going to deny that. But I do think there is a degree of right and wrong. And I'm not going to drag my tail between my legs or, you know, feel bad or feel like I'm too full of myself to admit that what I believe I am on to something that is good and what I believe is right. And I'm not doing that or saying that just so I can be the only one who's better than everyone else. I'm doing everything that I can to throw, you know, that life raft over the side of the boat to try to drag as many people up as high as I can with me. I mean, I don't want to be dancing alone. I want to have as many people there with me as I can, having as good of a time as we possibly can, making it a beautiful world for all of us. I mean, there are people out there who just seem to like want to have it all for themselves. But I just don't see the joy in that. It's just like, if just for selfish reasons, I want to make as many people happy, as healthy as possible, or inspire them to make themselves happy and healthy. And that's really where it's at, as far as I'm concerned, is shedding that joy and light to other people. I mean, keeping it to yourself it's not true joy or true love or true happiness. You know, just sharing it with other people is really where it's at.
Definitely. Chris, I would love to end this interview with the question, what are some of the difficulties people experience when they start out on the raw, low-fat, vegan diet?
You know, there are, I think the biggest, you know, there are, in terms of implementing just simply the diet itself, learning, getting over that, the idea of, is this too much fruit? You know, how much am I really supposed to be eating? If I want to look healthy and fit, I have to take a bite less of food after every meal or the next meal or whatever it might be. And just so getting over that societal conditioning and learning to put enough fuel in your tank to sustain the life that you really want to live and to take you where you want to go is probably the biggest determining factor. It's not the only one, but it's probably the biggest factor in terms of actually implementing the diet. But shy of that, I think almost a bigger role. And as I'm finding more and more, as I'm meeting more people around the world and traveling around the world, and it is just the societal pressures that are placed on us whenever we break the mold and we free ourselves from the status quo. And, you know, of just like we were talking about before, like you go out for dinner and someone, you know, is making fun of you for being some hippie vegan eating your rabbit food or eating your bananas or whatever. And then all of a sudden your foundations are just shook uncontrollably and you start falling to pieces. I mean, I think that's almost a bigger hurdle than
I think you're right. Yeah.
It itself. I mean, eating fruits and vegetables, people
it's
know
easy.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, once you learn, there's maybe like a 3 or 4 day time period of like maybe a week or so for some people. It's all individual of actually learning how to eat enough fruit, like what's a healthy amount of fruit for a meal, et cetera.
Yeah.
Once you get past that, it's just effortless. But I think, you know, for a lot of the time, if people who they chose to stray from this type of eating for whatever reasons, I don't think it most of the time it's genuinely like the diet itself didn't work for them, but implementing it in their social situations was too difficult for them to maintain that.
And all change is messy.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're a bad person for doing that or they're not a strong enough person for doing that. It's just the reasons – I mean, I fail a lot of the time, but it's just the reasons for, you know, them deciding to go away from that or to stray from that. And so I think that's a big thing to work on. I think the big thing is making it work for yourself first by learning, you know, eating enough vegetables, not trying to just live off of papaya and tomatoes for the rest of your life or something like that, and learn to eat a healthy raw food diet is definitely key, definitely. But in today's world, you're going to have to go out in the real world and be around other people and be in social situations. And I love doing that. But,
yes.
You know, some people struggle with that. And so I think investing your time into communicating effectively with other people and learning how those graces of getting what you want and relating to people and not isolating yourself from other people. I mean, I don't, you know, think I'm holding my head necessarily higher than someone who isn't a vegan or who's an omnivore or something like that. I, in the back of my head, to be honest, I do think there is a degree of rightness and wrongness, but I'm not going to rub that in their face and try to say I'm better than them and, you know, isolate them from what I'm doing. I mean, I see people who are promoting, even if it's like an animal-based diet, at least a lot of the people, I think they genuinely think what they're promoting is the right thing and they think it's what's best for themselves and others. I adamantly disagree with them on that, but I'm not going to, you know, just all of a sudden hate them because they're not a vegan. What I'm going to try to do is just spread as much love and understanding and knowledge to them their way as I can and hopefully ultimately try to inspire them to, you know, tap into what I'm on about and decide, you know, okay, you know, maybe eating animals really is wrong. Maybe I should go bananas instead.
Yeah. Also, I find a way to really include people is to bring a dish if you are invited out to somebody's house for dinner. Yeah. Just bring a huge salad, not just for yourself, but for everybody.
Always bring extra.
Yeah, always bring extra. So, and a lot of time people, they end up wanting to eat what I'm having. So if we have company over and I'm just eating a whole watermelon, and like my own sister, she said once, because my husband made lasagna, and I said, I was on a melon island, so I just had this melon. And when we finished, she said, next time I would rather have the watermelon than the lasagna. I was like, I'm so sorry I didn't offer you, but I thought you wanted the lasagna.
Yeah.
That's what I find is always bring extra for other people.
Exactly.
It's so much more fun. And people, especially when, because I mean, if you're on this lifestyle, you're going to learn how to pick the right fruit and eat it when it's ripe. And most people haven't experienced that. And so people will be like, oh my God, I've never tasted a mango or a banana like that. It's just exactly. Like, whoa. It's like, yeah, it's just like any other banana you can get. Only I picked the good one and I ate it when it was ripe. And so.
And I made a shake out of it. I don't even actually like eating bananas, but I eat a ton of bananas, but I do it in a shake.
Yes, that's it's fantastic to do that. I used to do the same. Now I've learned to really enjoy eating bananas out of hand, too. But the shakes for me for the first couple of years were just massive. That's,
oh, they are lifesavers.
Yes. I think that's a big thing to keep people keep in mind as well. Yeah. Tripping over my words here. I'm having such a good time.
it's good.
Yeah. And so investing in a $15 blender at the thrift shop to blend up your bananas can make it a lot more enjoyable than, you know, and really gap that hurdle. It can make it a lot more easy.
Yeah. And if you really want the Rolls Royce version of a blender, you go for the Vitamix. Yeah. And you can make your own mango ice cream just by putting a frozen banana and some mangoes in it. I love that.
Exactly. There's so many things you can do to just make this. It's not about deprivation. It's not about willpower. I mean,
oh, no.
If it was about willpower, I would have went back to eating.
Oh, me too.
Cheese sandwiches a long time ago. But I just genuinely, astonishingly love what I am doing on a daily basis, and it gives me the results that I want. Not to mention though that it's just simply enjoyable, and I love doing it, and it's easy to do. I mean, that's the thing. The thing about it is you should enjoy what you're doing, and if for some people that means they just, for their own sanity or emotional sake, they have to eat some steamed broccoli once or twice a week. I mean, whatever.
That is a very clean food. That's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, the raw food police genuinely aren't going to come knocking on your door and take you away and take away your raw badge. I mean, I don't even eat any cooked food, and that's me saying that. But
yes.
It's just like whatever. Within,
do what works.
Within
what
your works. Realm of your high standards and your healthy overall low-fat vegan diet, do what you can find can work best for you emotionally, physically, psychologically, socially, whatever that might be. I want people to succeed on a healthy lifestyle. I don't want to be saying 100% raw is law. Anything other than that, you're out of here. I mean,
I want to help
succeed on a healthy diet, whether that is eating some steamed broccoli and spinach a few times a week or eating 110% raw all the time.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes for them. You know, that's just whatever your goals are. I want to help get you there.
Chris, what is your tip on juicing versus blending?
Real quick on that, you know, I think ultimately it's best to get into the habit of eating more whole foods, even if that might be blending them in a smoothie, because you're still keeping the fiber, a lot of the antioxidants, et cetera, in there. And I think juicing is great. I wouldn't put it as the focus and like a need on any program, but I think getting into the habit of eating whole foods with their fiber intact, with their vitamins, minerals, coenzymes, proteins, carbohydrates, etc. I think that's the best thing to do. But some people have told me that, just like we just got done talking about, you know, sometimes they just need a big glass of celery juice and some apple in there to keep them on the program and satisfied and satiated. And if that's the case for you, by all means, have some celery juice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell people that they can't drink celery juice. I think green juice. I think the focus should be on eating whole foods, salads, smoothies, etc. But if you like having some green juice every now and then, or some apple juice or orange juice or papaya juice or whatever, I mean, go for it. I mean, there are individual differences of some people just can't seem to handle some green juices like that, or fruit juices. You know, that's on an individual case basis. For people like having some juice, go for your juice, you know.
Okay, and if people want juicy coaching from you, how can they reach you, Chris?
You can reach me at my website at realrawresults.com. It's just 3 R's, the words realrawresults.com. You can get me on my email there, on the contact page. You can check out my coaching services, my mentoring services. If you have any questions at all, do not hesitate to feel free anytime to contact me. And you can also check out, I've got quite a collection of YouTube videos now on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/realrawresults.
Great. Is there anything that you would like me to ask that I didn't ask you?
You know, I Yeah, I mean, this was one of the best interviews I think I've done. I mean, this is just some really excellent questions. And I don't think I could really add anything other onto that. I mean, it's just such good questions. And, you know, I guess, again, the big thing that I just want to convey to people is just, you know, let's find out what it takes for you to be comfortable on a healthy, happy vegan lifestyle, that it takes to, you know, inspire other people to live a healthy lifestyle and, you know, do what's right by the planet, do what's right by the animals, and just live a healthy, conscious, loving, you know, sustainable lifestyle. Let's see what it takes to get you inspired to, yes, to make a change for yourself.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm on. That's what I'm on about.
And I will really recommend people to go on your YouTube channel and really check it out, because you have a ton of good information. And also, I would just do, this is not a very good taste to do this, but I would do a little plug for myself because I just started Daily Energizer videos, yes, and I only have 2 followers on Twitter. So if people will please go in and follow Daily Energizer on Twitter, and I will do my best to, you know, give a video every day, 365 videos,
oh, wow,
a year. And it's going to be short, motivating videos that I hope can inspire to lift people's energy. So please go to Daily Energizer and see if you like it and check it out.
Just act like a million people are watching every single time. I remember starting out and I had 3 video views on my videos. And it's just like when I was losing weight. It's like, yeah, oh man, I lost 50 pounds.
I know.
Look in the mirror, you still weigh 280 pounds or whatever, but you still just got to see the light at the end of the tunnel. You still got to know you're going to get there and act like a million people are listening every single time, because you got a good message to share, and yeah, you just got to get that out at any cost possible.
Yeah, I definitely believe that it'll be big, because I think that the future is to get the message across in a very fast way now that we're doing it, which is a funny thing to say when we're doing such a long podcast, but this is for people who are really interested in health. But a lot of people, they only have 1 minute. They just want something fast.
Yeah, this will be the in-depth series here.
What I will do, Chris, I will take little bites from this interview and I'll put that on YouTube.
Do it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'll refer people to this podcast if they really want the whole marathon.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. And go and have an amazing and juicy, fruity day.
Oh, I most definitely will. Thank you so much. It was my honor.
Bye.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. To get more information, go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/dailyenergizer. Go to Twitter and look up Daily Energizer, and you will get a video from me 365 days a year to inspire and lift your energy. Have an amazing day. Bye.